Welcome to another episode of the Oncology On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Roman Fabricator. In this episode, Cancer Network's Ariana Pelosi spoke with Dr. John Paul Diaz, a gynecologic oncologist at Miami Cancer Institute, about uterine transposition, a surgical technique aiming to preserve fertility in women undergoing radiotherapy for pelvic tumors. First, Diaz discussed the methods employed to temporarily relocate and secure the uterus during radiotherapy in an effort to preserve fertility for young women with pelvic cancer. Additionally, Diaz touched upon his collaboration with Dr. Mario Lateo, conducive for expanding the procedure for this patient population. Furthermore, Diaz highlighted the outcomes he observed with two patients who had undergone the procedure at his clinic. Emphasizing the novelty of the therapy, he explained what sets uterine transposition apart from other fertility preservation methods on gynecologic cancers. Diaz further discussed patient eligibility for the procedure, as well as challenges associated with its development and implementation, as well as limitations impacting the success of future pregnancies. Later in the discussion, Diaz discussed key short and long-term outcomes of overcoming challenges in raising awareness for and next steps related to the development of the procedure for this patient population. To conclude, he highlighted the innovative thinking associated with the procedure at a time where incidences of pelvic tumors in young women are increasing.
So just to start off, what are some of the specific surgical techniques involved in uterine transposition, including the methods used to temporarily relocate and secure the uterus?
Yeah, so the surgical techniques used for uterine transposition are actually quite simple and very similar to a simple hysterectomy. The idea is we begin by opening the retroperitoneum. We want to make sure that we avoid touching any of the blood supply to the uterus, like the infinite pelvic ligament. So that's what's going to be preserve our uterus after the fact. The difference, obviously, is we're going to preserve the uterus here as opposed to remove it during a hysterectomy. Once we get down to the main blood supply of the uterus, the uterine arteries, those are ligated, and the uterus and cervix are released from the vagina. We then mobilize the uterus up into the abdomen, and we then stitch it up to the anterior abdominal wall, thereby taking it out of the radiation field so that patients can safely receive the radiation they need to treat their pelvic tumor, but preserve their fertility if it hopefully carry a future pregnancy.
It's very interesting. So in the press release, it did mention that you worked with MSK. So can you discuss a little bit about how that collaboration went?
Yeah. So here at Baptist Health South Florida, we're part of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Alliance. I trained at Memorial Sloan Kettering and continue to keep in close contact with a lot of the physicians and surgeons there, including my friend and mentor, Dr. Mario Lateo, who has the largest series in the United States in performing uterine transpositions. So when I had a patient that would be a candidate for this, I discussed the case with Dr. Lateo and actually went up to Sloan Kettering to observe the technique in the operating room. And then when it came for us to do our first procedure, Dr. Lateo came down to South Florida and observed us in the operating room. So this collaboration has really been great to help expand the number of patients that could benefit from this surgical technique.
That's great. Dr. Lateo is actually on our editorial advisory board for the journal. So it's great that you guys have that connection there.
Yeah.
So can you discuss the outcomes you saw with the two patients who underwent this procedure?
We've had two patients that have undergone this procedure here in South Florida. Our first patient has completed her adjuvant radiation therapy, and we completed phase two of the procedure, which is now to move the uterus and the ovaries back into the pelvis, re-anastomosis to the vagina. And that was a very successful procedure. The patient is currently 3 months post-op and is doing very well. And now we're eagerly awaiting the opportunity for her to get pregnant in the future. Our second patient is currently receiving her radiation therapy, and the plan is for later this year to proceed with stage two of the procedure.
Great. So what sets uterine transposition apart from other fertility preservation methods in gynecologic cancers?
So for some time, we've been looking on how can we treat these cancers for women and preserve their fertility, and different things that we've tried. In the past, for women who were going to receive pelvic radiation, we would mobilize the ovaries out of the radiation field, and that way at least try and preserve the ovaries so they can retain their estrogen production and possibly allow them for a genetic child in the future with a surrogate carrier. We've also done other techniques such as like a radical trachelectomy. I described the first series over 15 years ago. So we continue to try and adapt our treatments for these young patients where we can successfully treat their cancers, but also preserve the fertility. The interesting part about this technique is we're actually preserving the entire uterus. So these patients can receive their pelvic radiation and then be able to carry a child in the future. There's no radiation technique now that can safely be performed to preserve this uterus function. So this is really an exciting big change in the treatment of these cancers.
How can you best identify candidates for this procedure, and which cancer types or stages is most useful?
So candidates for this procedure are women who have some pelvic tumor, either a colorectal cancer, a vaginal cancer, in which they're going to require pelvic radiation, which would otherwise sterilize the uterus and render them unable to carry a pregnancy in the future. So these are tending to be younger women who still want to preserve the fertility in the future. Their cancers are cancers that can be potentially be treated and cured with a combination of pelvic radiation. So we're going to mobilize this uterus out of that radiation field safely, allow them to get their cancer treatment that they need, and then bring the uterus back into its natural position in the pelvis so they can hopefully carry a pregnancy in the future.
And then did you come up with any challenges encountered during the development or implementation of this procedure? And maybe how were they overcome to achieve successful outcomes for the patients?
One of the biggest challenges with this procedure, or any of these procedures, is just thinking outside the box. As surgical oncologists, our priority has always been, and rightfully so, to treat the cancer. And when we first did this, the idea was a radical surgery. The more tissue around the tumor that you got that was negative, the better oncologic outcomes. But we've learned over time that we can continue to keep great oncologic outcomes, but tailor our surgical techniques to improve outcomes for women. So we saw this in the evolution in the management of breast cancers, from these very radical surgeries now to lumpectomies with sentinel lymph nodes. And this has really been patient-driven. The patients have been forcing us as surgeons to come up with better surgical techniques where we can treat the disease, but also give them a better quality of life afterwards. And this is no different. The procedure itself, as I said, surgically, is very simple. It's something that we all would feel comfortable performing. It's just a matter of thinking about it in this way. And once you see it done, you realize that this can be done and hopefully can be applied to many women to preserve their future fertility.
And you may have previously touched on this, but how effective is this procedure in preserving fertility? And are there any limitations that may impact the success of future pregnancies?
You know, this is a novel surgical technique. There've only been a handful of cases that have been done around the world. And so our experience continues to grow. In the initial experience in Brazil, about 75% of their surgeries were successful. In other words, the uterus was preserved and was functioning. That number has now improved as we continue to collaborate with our partners around the world and share our successful surgical techniques. In that initial collaboration, we saw 3 of the 4 women who attempted fertility to have successful pregnancy. And so that's really encouraging. But we also have to remember, we're dealing with cancer here. We're dealing with a novel surgical technique. Some of these patients, unfortunately, may not have a successful treatment of their cancer. And so fertility then may become secondary as they go on to treat this progressing disease. We're moving this uterus out of the normal area. And so the blood supply can sometimes be compromised as you do this. So we're starting to learn more and more, but the success rates have continued to improve with greater experience.
And then looking at the key short and long-term outcomes for patients who undergo uterine transposition, can you touch upon that?
So some of the short-term things that we're looking for immediately in the operating room is the uterus perfusing well? So we use a dye called ICG green that we inject, and we like to see the uterus absorb that dye and become green. That's an indication that it's perfusing well. Then in the short term, we want to see, again, are there no post-operative complications, that we continue to see good perfusion and good outcomes of this uterus. The successful treatment of the prescribed cancer treatment that these patients are undergoing, so we can then go back and reimplant the uterus back into its normal anatomical position. And obviously the ultimate long-term success is for the patient to be cured of their disease and to go on to have a successful live birth. So that takes time and patience for both the patient and for us. But this is what we're looking for and really excited about granting this opportunity to future patients.
And then have you experienced any challenges in trying to raise awareness for this procedure, and maybe how can that be overcome or addressed?
I think one of the challenges is, you know, providers out there need to be aware that this is even an option. And so We're going to those providers who are seeing these patients. We're going to our colorectal surgeons, our colleagues in rectal cancer and colon cancer, to make them aware that this may be an option for your young patients, because they're the ones that need to identify these patients and ultimately refer them to someone like us. We're also working to share knowledge about this procedure, and hopefully more surgeons around the United States and around the country can offer this to their patients and to their colleagues. And that's been the biggest challenge. How do we get this word out? How do we educate the providers who are first seeing these patients so they can be referred to someone who feels comfortable performing this procedure?
And then finally, looking towards the future, what are the next steps with this procedure?
I think you touched upon this. Some of the next steps with this procedure are to expand access to patients, to let other doctors know that this is even an option. This is still pretty novel, although the first description of this was almost 10 years ago. We're only starting to now hear about this in the United States. And so spreading that information to those physicians who are first seeing these patients with these pelvic tumors so they can educate these patients about this fertility option before they initiate their cancer treatments. And then continue to work and develop new and novel techniques. Some of these great advances, like radical trachelectomies to preserve the uterus or the uterine transposition, this was again focused on improving patients' post-cancer diagnosis so they can retain their fertility.
And then finally, is there anything else that you would like to highlight today that we didn't touch upon?
I think it's just exciting that we're thinking outside the box, that we're moving a reproductive organ outside of the field of radiation so that women can preserve the fertility. We're doing this successfully. This is something that a few years ago, we wouldn't even have thought about this. And so it's really exciting to see this. We're seeing better outcomes for patients, and especially in a time where we're seeing more and more young women who are being diagnosed with pelvic tumors.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology on the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.